And we're holding on Pay Dalit Ahmed Bey's six lines from the bottom. We started talking about the Mishnah had mentioned one of the cases where a person is chayav misa, chenek specifically, is where he hits and wounds his father or his mother. So in that connection, we mentioned that what about, for example, father has a splinter or he needs bloodletting done or whatever, can his son do it for him? So we said where he's doing it, little four is potter. On the other hand, we said that Rav and Mar Brei Ravina wouldn't allow such a thing. We talked about yesterday, does that mean they disagree and say that it actually would be osur and therefore they wouldn't allow, or are they just doing to be on the safe side? So now, the Gemara had pointed out, well, what about in general? You're not allowed to injure and wound a fellow Yid. So in that case, we should ask anybody to do bloodletting or something like that because they might call or to take out a splinter because they might accidentally cause more injury than they were supposed to. And the answer is, with another Yid, maximum we're talking about an Isser Malkus. Because there's an Isser in the Torah, Lo Yosef, that the Shliach based in, when he gives people Malkus, is not allowed to give extra Malkus, pen Yosef, lest he add, which that constitutes a lav not to hit a fellow Yid. But maximum, we're talking about a lav over there. Maximum, if he would do it b'mezid, with Aden Vastra, there would be Malkus. So therefore, so when we're talking about he's doing it for Rafua, then we're not so worried about that he accidentally might go beyond what he's supposed to, as opposed to with a child and a parent, where we're talking about an Isra Misa, then we want to be careful and not have him do it. And not have him do it because if he accidentally causes him to bleed where he shouldn't, then it would actually, then we're talking about something where there is missa involved. Obviously, in that case, there wouldn't actually be missa because it's a shogeg, but still, the point is, in other words, that we're talking about an iser that involves missa, so it's more serious. So the Gemara continues. Now, what about the here? So here, I'll give you an example. The Gemara says here, I'll give you an example involving a din where there's also conceivably skilla, and yet we say that you're allowed to do it. So if you're going to tell me the distinction is between something which conceivably could be chayav misas based in and something which is not, then by the same logic, it shouldn't work in this case as well as far as Hilchos Shabbos. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos talking about various kinds of things that intrinsically are mukta, but nevertheless you could still find a use for them on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, "Machat shoyad little baris akoitz." You're allowed to pick up a sewing needle on Shabbos to use it to take out a splinter. Otherwise, it would be mukta, but here you're using it for a purpose which is mutter. Now, if you're telling me that any time there's missus based in potentially involved, then you shouldn't do it to be on the safe side, well then, here you have the same thing. Why should you be allowed to take out a splinter on Shabbos? Leichus duma chovil, he might cause a wound, he might cause bleeding. Which is going to be one or another, which is going to be one or another of Malacha of Shabbos. There's different opinions whether it's a matter of Shechit, it's a matter of taking, of Netilas Neshama, taking the life force out of that area of the body, or the other possibility that it's Seveya, that it's dying, you're causing the skin to be dyed red with the blood. Whatever the case, there's a machlokas who's showing him on that point. But the point is, it would be a malacha of Shabbos. So maybe he would do that accidentally. V'havdil shigiga skila. And then you're talking about a shogig of something that would involve skila. And if you're telling me that in the case of a child and a parent, he shouldn't do it because it's a possible shogig on something which is chayv chenek, and therefore we don't want him to do it. Well, by the same logic, we shouldn't be allowed to take out a splinter on Shabbos. The answer is Hossam Makalkal. The answer is, even if you do cause an injury there it's Makalkal. You're not doing something constructive with the wounding. The Malachas of Shabbos are when you're doing it for a constructive purpose. Now you can have Makalkal Amanas Lasakin, for example, where you're wounding something in order to fix it. A number of the Malachas of Shabbos are along those lines where they would, for example, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, let's say, for example, there was a hole in one of the Urias of the Mishkan, they would tear the fabric above and below it, so that they could sew it up properly. That would be, that's Kirei Almanas Litbar, for example, ripping in order to later on sew up. So that is a Malacha of Shabbos, but where it's just Makalkal, where it's just doing it for a destructive purpose, is not considered a Malacha anyhow. And here, taking out the splinter is a positive purpose, but causing other bleeding while doing that is not for a constructive purpose anyhow, so there's no shogig of skill up, because the person would be potter anyway. Well, the Gemara says that's not so simple. That applies well, that works well according to the opinion that when a person does a malacha in a way of when a person does the malacha of choyvel in a way of makalkal, he's potter. Now, you have like this. In general, you have this concept of makalkal, but then you have, in particular, when it comes to certain malachas, in particular the malacha of choyvel, which again is a tolda of, it's actually a tolda of one of some of the malacha, either sheichet or tzeveya, there's a machloikas. When you think about it, choyvel inherently is something destructive. You're causing a wound. The question is it taka also on Shabbos only where it's amanas l'sakin, for example, injuring in order to heal afterwards, or for example, so an example of makalkal amanas l'sakin actually, oh not amanas l'sakin, an example of makalkal, it's called makalkal b'chabura. For example, you could say that a person injures another person or an animal or whatever when he's angry, and that has a certain positive effect in that it helps him work out his anger. He gets angry, he hits someone or something, and then damages it. You could say that there was a certain misakin regarding his yetzahara, that now afterwards he feels better that he let out his anger. So does that make him chayev or potter? So if we say that any time a person is doing a makalkal, even when it comes to chabura, would still be potter, then fine, then there's no shugga involving skila. What about according to the opinion that in such a case a person would be chayev when it comes to choyvel and another malacha? The Gemara mentions over there that there may a person the Gemara mentions in Shabbos that there are opinions that in that case a person would be chayev, because even though the act itself is destructive, it has a positive effect on him that now afterwards he feels better. So then ma'ikal meimer, then what are you going to say? We're back to the question. It's possible from a kalkal involving wounding to be considered a malacha on Shabbos, and then by that logic it shouldn't be possible to take out a splinter on Shabbos, because you might accidentally cause that, and that would be a shurigig of something that involves skila. The answer is man shamet le d'omer makalka b'chabura chayev. You know which opinion you find that says that makalka b'chabura is chayev on Shabbos is Reb Shimon. That's specifically the opinion of Reb Shimon. Tosfos goes into, so it's a machlokas, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. Tosfos actually goes into some discussion over here, where exactly do we derive that from? Because we never find in so many words, in a Mishnah or in a Braisa, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon arguing on this point. So Tosfos discusses where exactly we derive in the first place that Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon have such a machlokas. One thing is, now there is a point in Masechta Shabbos where Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda point out the fact that we know the Torah has to give us a special heter that you can do a bris milah on Shabbos. Now bris milah is an example of choyvel. You're wounding the baby, you're causing him to bleed by removing his orla. So Reb Shimon figures that in that case, that shows that ordinarily, choyvel on Shabbos would be chayev, and only in the special case of bris milah are you allowed to do it. So Reb Shimon would say, therefore, that you see, ordinarily you chayev. On the other hand, then Reb Yehuda would say that that's not really a proof, because as the Gemara is going to talk about over here, you have a different point called malacha shein sricha legufa, that you have a malacha that's being done for a malacha that's being done for a different purpose than it was in the Mishkan. So, Rabbi Yehuda points out over there, Rashi brings there in Shabbos, that there could be a case where you're actually getting something out of the bris milah itself. You're going to take the orla or the blood from it and use it for something useful. Anyway, the point is, Reb Shimon is the one who says makalko b'chabura chayev, that usually wounding would be chayev on Shabbos, and only where it's and only specially by bris milah is the Torah after it. Well, very well. Reb Shimon also holds Reb Shimon ha'amar, but Reb Shimon also says kol malacha shein sricha legufa potter aleha. He says that whenever a person does a malacha not legufa, then he's potter on it. You have machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos. What is the definition in a few places? What is the definition of legufa versus not legufa? Rashi learns that malacha shen tzricha legufa means a malacha that you would prefer not to have had to be in the situation to have to do this malacha in the first place. So an example would be, let's say, an example that brings in the Masechta Shabbos is that a person has a dead body in the house and he carries it outside. He would rather that the person hadn't died and he hadn't had to carry it out in the first place. And Reb Shimon holds that he'd be potter for carrying out that body on Shabbos. He's chayav for carrying on Shabbos only where he actually wants to use the thing itself that he's carrying out. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos in a number of places explains that melacha shen tzricha legufa means he's not doing it for the same purpose as they did it in the Mishkan. So in the Mishkan, they carried things from point A to point B to actually use them for the melacha of the Mishkan, as opposed to here, carrying out the body on Shabbos is not being done. In order to use the body, it's being done in order to get it out of the house and to be able to go and bury it. In any case, applying that over here, Reb Shimon is going to say that when is a person chayav for choyvel on Shabbos, only where he's doing it for a purpose, either he wants to be able to do that choyvel, for example, or in the case of Bris Mila, let's say, for example, it would be that he wants to use the blood or the orla to feed to a dog. In the case of a here, would be in the case of a here, there isn't, because here, even if he's causing bleeding, he's not doing it for that kind of purpose. He's doing it in the course of taking out the splinter. According to Tosfos, again, the vote is that the melacha of shechet that was done by the Mishkan is in order to use the shechted animals or their skins, as opposed to where a person is just mekalko, where he's just doing it for a destructive purpose. The point being, in other words, so therefore, so you're good. According to both Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda, fine, holds that... Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's mekalkel, that any time choyvel is considered destructive, and therefore he's not chayev for it, so then fine, according to him, there's no possibility that taking out a splinter on Shabbos, which could cause choyvel, is going to involve a shogig on something that's chayev skila, therefore there's no problem with it. Reb Shimon, who holds mekalkel as chayev, but he also holds it'd be potter for a different reason, malacha shein etzricha legufa. So therefore, according to either one of them, you're good, and therefore, and because of that, there's no problem with taking out a splinter on Shabbos. Okay. Fine. So that's the difference. Therefore, to take out a splinter or to let blood that a son should do for his father, that there's a problem because he might go too far and then he's doing something b'shogeg, which had it been done b'mezid would be chayev chenek, and therefore he shouldn't do it. And as we talked about yesterday, there's a machlokas aposkim whether he shouldn't do it at all or whether it just means v'chila he shouldn't do it. But unless there's nobody else around. But as far as Shabbos, that's not an issue because one way or the other, he'd be potter when that's done on Shabbos. And when it comes to doing it for a regular person, there's neither maximum there's malchus, and therefore there's no problem. All right, the Gemara continues. They asked Rav Sheshes a question. Is a son allowed to be a shliach of Basin about his father to hit him or to curse him? So say his father is chayev malchus, or his father is chayev nidui by Basin, which involves Basin cursing him and putting him in chayim. So is the son allowed to do that? When we get to the end of the sugya, we'll talk about what the right now, obviously, if he's lakos or lakalo, that means the father is a rosha, the father is high of these things. So the question is whether he can do it. Omalahu, sort of Sheshes answers, think about it. V'acher mihitiroi, even where it was somebody else, where it wasn't his father, what is it that gives the heter for the shliach basin to do that in the first place? It must be, you're not allowed to curse any yid, and you're not allowed to hit any yid. Ela kvod shemayim odif. Obviously, the answer is that the kavod of Hashem outweighs that. Yes, you have to have kavod for a fellow yid, and therefore you shouldn't hit or curse him unnecessarily. But here it's not unnecessarily, because it's the kavod of Hashem, because he disobeyed what the Torah says. Hochanami kvod shemayim odif. Therefore, says Rav Sheshes, the same thing over here, the kavod of Hashem would be more important, and therefore that would outweigh the kavod that he should be giving his father. So therefore, yes, the son son could be a shliach based in for this purpose. But the Gemara says Mesri. I have a contradiction because the Braisa says how the Braisa is working out how we know that there's an iser for a person to hit his father. So again, now you have, you know, the fact that he's chayav misa for it. We learned yesterday because it says umaka over the imoy mois yumos. But again, you need an azhara for it. You need a warning in the Torah. So where does it explicitly say in the Torah any place that a person shouldn't hit his father? So the Braisa says umam mishum mitzvah mitzvah. Mitzvah shaloi lahakosei, madach, somebody who there's a mitzvah to hit him, there's also a mitzvah not to hit him. Umamish mitzvah lahakosei, mitzvah shaloi lahakosei, madach, somebody where there is a mitzvah to hit him, there's a mitzvah not to hit him. As the Gemara is going to explain what we mean by that. Misha ain't a mitzvah lahakosei, well then somebody where there's not a mitzvah to hit him, and it's in shem mitzvah shaloi lahakosei, how much more so that there should be a mitzvah not to hit him. Now what does that mean? Who's the one who there's the mitzvah to hit, and who's the one who there's the mitzvah not to hit? My lab, Aidi b'mokam mitzvah. So shouldn't we assume that the Braisa means, in both cases, the mitzvah lahakosei and any mitzvah lahakosei is talking about b'mokam mitzvah, but we're talking about where there is a mitzvah to hit him, namely because he did something which makes him chayev malchus. And therefore, what does the Braisa mean? The one who does the mitzvah to hit him, and the one who does the mitzvah not to hit him would be my love, I do mokum mitzvah, hobib noi hobacher. One's talking about his son, one's talking about somebody else. So in other words, the Braisa would be saying that you have the madoch, somebody else, where there is a mitzvah to give him malchus. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to add malchus, you're not lo yosef, you're not allowed to add extra malchus beyond the 39 or whatever number it is that you're supposed to give him. So then how much more so your father, who you're not allowed to hit at all, then you're not allowed to hit him even when he's chayav malchus. So that being the case, then the Braisa would be saying that the son is never allowed to hit his father even if the father is chayav malchus. Tosfos points out, by the way, that we can't just say directly that we learn from Lo Yosef. We said before, since the pasuk says about the shliach beis din that he shouldn't give more malchus than he's supposed to, and from there we learn a general issur against hitting and wounding another yid. We can't learn from that the azhara not to hit his father, because that pasuk is specifically talking about where there's a mitzvah to hit him, and the pasuk is saying don't go beyond that. So therefore, we need this kavachomer to say that we need to say this kavachomer. Tosfos also points out that when we often say ein mazhirin min adin, we can't say that a warning for a mitzvah comes from a kavachomer. But Tosfos says that would be as far as giving him malchus. Here we're talking about something else. Anyway, the point is that the point is, in other words, that that on the face of it, the Braisa is telling us that even where there is a mitzvah to hit, namely where there's malchus involved, nevertheless a son shouldn't be doing it for the father. So not like Rav Shesha said. And the answer is loy, not necessarily that's what the Braisa means. Aidi v'aidi loyshna b'noi v'loyshna acher. Both parts of the Braisa may be talking about there's no difference between a son or anybody else. Either way, it is mutter. V'loy kasha kan b'mkoy mitzvah kan shaloy b'mkoy mitzvah. The Braisa is just making a distinction between where there's a mitzvah to hit him versus where there's not. V'hochi katoni. So the Braisa means the kavachomer goes as follows. Uma b'mokim mitzvah madach, where there is a mitzvah to hit him, namely where he's chayef malchus, shem mitzvah lahakosei, where there's a mitzvah to hit him, mitzvah shaloi lahakosei, yet there's a mitzvah not to hit him any more than you're supposed to, because the pasuk says pen Yosef, that he might add, lest he add more, and pen constitutes a loisese, so there's a loisese there not to hit a yid where it's not necessary to. Shaloi b'mkoy mitzvah, where there's no mitzvah involved in the first place, where there's no malchus, shaloi b'mkoy mitzvah, she'ein mitzvah la'koseh, where there's no mitzvah to hit him at all, ein edin she mitzvah shaloi la'koseh, how much more so that there's a mitzvah not to hit him at all, and that, in other words, that a person would be over on a lav if he does. So therefore, so the Braisa is Bechal not addressing a father and a son. It's saying that even when giving Malkus, you're not allowed to add extra Malkus. How much more so when you're hitting a person? How much more so when one person hits another without a good reason that it would be Osir and he'd be over on a lot for that. So no proof from this Braisa against Rav Sheshes, because the Braisa is really not addressing the case of a father and a son at all. All right, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says Hayotze Lahorig. A person is going out to be executed by Beis Din. Uba Acha Vehik VeKol VeKiloloi. Uba Bnoi VeKol VeKiloloi. His son comes and hits him or curses him. Chayev. Then the son would be Chayev Misa for that. His father is going out to be killed. Doesn't matter. It's still Osir for the son to do it, and he'd be Chayev Misa. He'd be Chayev Chenek for that. But if somebody else, not his son, comes and hits him or curses him at that point, even though he's still physically alive, then he'd be potter. Because he was over on the issur of hitting another yid or killing another or cursing another yid. Nevertheless, he's already considered gavrik tela. He's already considered he's a dead man, and therefore he'd be potter. Now, when we learn this braisa, we discuss it. Maishna b'noyu maishna acher. Why would there be a difference between the son and anybody else? The Omer of Chista, so Rav Chista explained, Mesarvin by Lotzis ve'ena yotze. The Mesarvin by Lotzis ve'ena yotze. We're talking about that we're trying to get the guy to go out to where he's supposed to be executed, and he doesn't want to go. So here he's been convicted by Beis Din. Now it's time to take him out there to get his Misa Beis Din and get his final kapara, and he doesn't want to go. So we're not going to pick him up and carry him. So we have to hit him, or we have to curse him in order to drive him out and get him out of there. So now somebody else who does that at that point is a shliach Beis Din for that. Whereas his son, it sounds like the Braisa is saying his son can't be a shliach Beis Din even under such circumstances. So based on what Rav Chista is saying, that when, and on the face of it, we have to learn the Braisa that way, because otherwise, why would there be that distinction? If we're going to say that another person is potter because gavra ktila, because the person is already considered dead, then the son should also be potter in that case. If the Braisa is telling us nonetheless the son is chayev, it must be that, chayev misses based in for it even, it must mean that we're talking about even in a case like that, where we're doing it in order to, on behalf of the based in, to get him to leave, and then go with the escort that's going to take him to give him Mrs. Beis Din. Nevertheless, the son is not allowed to. Well, that would go against Rav Sheshes. The answer is Rav Sheshes Mukila b'she'en Mesarvin b'lo says no, because Rav Sheshes would explain the Braisa is not talking about specifically that case where they have to force him to leave. We're talking about he's on his way on his own to he's given up. Well, you know, okay, I guess I'm going to get Mrs. Basin, and fine, you know, it should be a kapara for all my averus, like we learned earlier in the Masechta that he says. So he's going willingly with the Shluchei Basin, and then on the way somebody comes and hits him or kills him. So now. If his son hits him or curses him without a good, and there's no valid reason for that, then he'd be chayev misa. But if somebody else does, then even though he shouldn't be doing that, he's not going to be chayev for that. Well, the Gemara asks, Yehochi Achonami. Well, then why should somebody else in that case be potter? Okay, there's no misa, obviously, but why should another person be potter from if he hit him? That he should be over on the lav. He should be over on the lav of hitting or cursing him. And if he actually injured him, he should be chayev in the chamisha dvarim. He should be chayev to pay him monetary penalties. So the answer is that's exactly it. Acher gavra ktilahu. When it comes to relative to somebody else, the father in this case is already considered a dead man walking. So when it comes to hitting him and injuring him, you have the payments that are being done, nezek and sar and so forth, all depend on his value if he were to be sold as a slave. And here he doesn't have that value because he's about to be killed. So he'd be potter at least from, so he'd be potter, for example, from Nezek, and he'd be potter from Nezek as far as the other ones over here, As far as the other ones over here, the Or HaNer points out that you have, so Nezek is not, because again, there's no actual monetary value to the person at this point, since he's about to be killed. Tsar he doesn't seem to address, but Ripu Tsar also is based on figuring out if, for example, Tsar he doesn't seem to address. Ripu and Sheves, again, you don't really have that, because he's not going to be healed at this point, and he's not going to be taking off time work. Boishes, he's already suffering the humiliation of going out and being executed, so there really wouldn't be any payment that a person would have to do if he hits him at that point. So that's why he would be potter, as opposed to a son, where there you have it. It's not a matter of payments, it's a matter of Mrs. Baskin, so that he could still be chayav Misa in that case. So that would be the distinction. So Rav Sheshes does not have to say that we're talking about we were trying to force him to leave, and the son is being a shliach based in for the purpose. Rav Sheshes can easily understand that we just mean b'chlal, somebody goes over and slaps him or curses him for no good reason, so another person shouldn't be doing that, but nevertheless, you can't say that he'd be chayav to pay, whereas a son would still be chayav misa for that. Well, the Gemara says, v'omer Rav Sheshes bisha yoshen umeth. Rav Sheshes himself says, that if a person caused boshes to somebody when he was asleep, and so the victim didn't realize, he still remained asleep, and he didn't realize that he had suffered boshes, umes, and then he died in his sleep and never woke up and never found that he had suffered boshes, chayev, the one who did the boshes is chayev anyway, so he'd have to pay his yoshim, the amount, or the appropriate amount for boshes. So the same way over here then, why shouldn't we say, fine, the person himself, he's not paying boshes to because he's about to be killed. Why shouldn't he have to pay his yoshim? And if we see that he does, then by the same logic over here, he should have to pay. Okay, as far as Tsar, actually, the Or HaNer just explained that the Gemara had dealt with that we had dealt with four out of the five payments. As far as Tsar, the Gemara could have asked about Tsar itself. It's asking from Boshes because that's a more significant payment, says the Or HaNer. The point is, the flow of the Gemara then is, That if you're going to tell me that the same way as boshes he can be chayev even when the person never realized his boshes, the same way he can be chayev boshes to pay the yoshim, and he still has to pay the yoshim, the same way over here, even the person himself maybe is not subject to boshes because he's on the way to be executed and there's no greater boshes than that, nevertheless maybe still you should have to pay the yoshim, and yet we're saying if it was somebody else he would be potter. Why? So wouldn't that mean, therefore, that we'd have to be explaining that we were talking about where there was a right to do that, to cause him this injury, namely it's a shliach based in who's trying to force him to go out with the shluche based in to get executed, and nevertheless we're saying that if son does that, he'd be chayav misa, not like Rav Sheshes. So the answer is that, no, the answer is Hoch of Maya Skin, and because what we'd be talking about over here, v'shi ko akosh she'em v'shova pruta, where the injury that he caused him is worth less than a pruta. So with somebody else we're talking about that he's potter because you don't pay less than a pruta. So if it was a pruta, then yeah, he would actually be chayev, not chayev misa, but chayev to pay, but because it's less than a pruta, then he's potter. On the other hand, with a son, there's no difference. Less than a pruta, more than a pruta, therefore he's chayev misa. So the Gemara says, we find that if a person hits somebody with the amount of the injury is less than a pruta, then we say loike, then he gets malchus, because now, so ordinarily when a person hits somebody else, we said he's over without a good reason, we said he's over on the issue of lo yosef, that he's hitting him where he wasn't supposed to. Normally we say though that instead he pays money, he pays the nezek and the tsar and so forth, whichever ones are appropriate in the given situation, and therefore we have a rule, ein odem loike umashalom, a person doesn't get malchus and have to pay, so therefore he pays and he doesn't get malchus. On the other hand, Rabbi Ami is telling us that if he hit him to the value of less than a pruta, then there's no payment over there, so then he's getting malchus. So here the Braisa, here we're explaining the previous Braisa where the person is being taken to be executed by Beis Din, and we're saying somebody else hit him, then he's Potter, and we're saying he's Potter because it was less than a Shavah Pruta, according to what we just said. It sounds like you should be Chayav Malkus for that. So the answer is fine. My Potter to Kalmar, Potter mi Mammon. Fine. What the Braisa means is that he'd be Potter from paying money. We're not addressing the question of whether he's Chayav Malkus. But we're just saying at least that he'd be Potter from money. The Gemara is going to end up slugging up this explanation of the Braisa anyway. Otherwise, the Torah Chaim points out at this point the Gemara could say, fine, that takes care of the hitting where we can talk about whether he's Chai of money or not. What about the cursing? There's never any Chiyuv of money for cursing, only Malkus for cursing, only maximum Malkus. But the Gemara is going to end up pointing out this explanation of the Braisa doesn't work anyway. So the Gemara says, Miklal de Bnoi Chayev B'mammon. So what are you telling me? That if his son hits him, he'd be Chayev to pay money? With the son, we're talking about whether he's Chayev Mitzvah or not. Ela B'dini, no. With the son, we're obviously talking about whether he's Chayev a dinner based in naming Mitzvah. Hochanami B'dini. The same way over here, we should be talking about in other words, when it comes to the son, b'dino, it would be whatever the din is of a son with his father, which is chiyuv misa. So therefore, hochanami b'dino, the same way over here, when it comes to hitting somebody else, who's not his father, it should mean chayev or potter, whatever is appropriate in the given situation, which would be malchus or payment, as the case may be. So therefore, so you can't say, in other words, the braisa is saying he might be chayev for something else, but he's potter from paying money. It sounds like the braisa is saying generically chayev something or potter something, and whatever the appropriate thing is in the situation. Malkus if it was less than a shavah pruta, and then payment if it was a shavah pruta or more. And a son, we're saying he just says chayev misa. So again, if we doesn't that mean we have to be talking about again where the father is chayev misa, is going out to be executed by Beis Din, and the son versus somebody else hits him for the purpose of getting him to go with the Shluchei Beis Din to the place where he's going to be executed, and the Braisa is saying the father, the son, would be Chayev. Again, not like Rav Sheshis. Tosfos, by the way, wonders why Bechlal, if a person hits somebody, he should be Chayev Malkus, on the grounds that he was over on the issue of Lo Yosef. Is it this is what's called a Nitzan Las Horas Mrs. Based in. This is an issue where there can conceivably be Mrs. Based in involved, because again we're learning from it the fact that the son is Chayev Misa for hitting his father, and generally we have a rule that such kinds of lavim don't trigger a chiyuv malchus because there's mitzvah based in involved. An example, let's say, would be a person is mechalal Shabbos. We don't give a malchus for it because there's mitzvah based in involved. So over here, Tosfos asks that if we're learning from the words Lo Yosef, Pen Yosef, we're learning from that a son's not allowed to hit his father, and that he could be chayev mitzvah for that, then we shouldn't also be saying that he should be chayev malchus for it if it was somebody else. So one of the answers is in fact that is the distinction that when we're talking about that from the issue when in fact you have the issue is regarding the son, then there's mitzvah based in involved. But given that from that very positive, we're also learning that in general a person is not allowed to hit another yid. So for that we can say there can be malchus involved, because as if we're not talking about a father and a son, then there's no potential mitzvah based in the first place. So therefore there can be malchus. In any case, getting back to the Gemara, then again, the question was that what does the Braisa mean, making the distinction between a son versus anybody else? It's saying the son is Chayev, anybody else would be Potter. If we're talking about, we can't be talking about where the injury was worth less than a Pruta, because then another person should be Chayev as well for the Malkus because of Pen Yosef. We can't be talking about where it's more than a Pruta because we said that if it was somebody else, he should have to pay. You can't say that somebody else should be Potter. So what's going on over here? Unless we say not like Rav Sheshis, that a son is in fact Chayev Misa for hitting his father, even where the father is Chayev Misa's based in. So the Gemara says no. let's explain differently. Ella Acher Hainu Time in the Potter. No, the reason why, if it was somebody else, not the son, why he'd be Potter if he hits or curses this person is Chayav Misas Beis Din, is because the Omar Krov Nasi V'am Chaloi Sar, the Pasuk says, don't curse a Nasi among your people. This is one of the sources in Torah for the fact that you're not allowed to curse another Yid. Earlier in the Masechta, we had three psukim that talk about not cursing a yid. We said not cursing a nasi, not cursing a father, and not cursing a deaf person. And from the combination of all of them, we learned that you're not allowed to curse any yid. But it says v'nasi ba'amcha, nasi among your people, which means ba'oise ma'ise amcha, only when he's acting like the people of your nation, meaning that he's a yid shrema Torah or mitzvahs. Here, where this person did an aveira that makes him chayav misas beis din, then he's not oise ma'ise amcha. So therefore, if somebody else hits him, then hits him or curses him, then he'd be potter. Well, so that takes care of the cursing. The Gemara says altenach klala, that applies to the klala. What about hakol menolon? How do we know the same thing applies to hitting as well? And the answer is exactly that. The makshin and hakol klala. We compare hitting to klala. That in both cases it applies only if oisa maisa amcha. Rashi brings two explanations on what we mean by bakshinan. One is that we compare, we do a mamatzinu, just like we find by cursing that there's a difference whether oisa maisa amcha or not, the same way we'll draw that distinction as far as hitting. Then Rashi's second explanation is then in Parashas Mishpatim, you have Maka over the Imay Mois Yomas, then you have another Pasuk between, then you have Umakal of the Imay Mois Yomas. So in fact, Rashi on the Psukim explains over there that there's a Machlokas Tanoim, which we're going to deal with on Omid Beis over here, whether that means that we can make a Hekesh between them or not, because you have something else in between them. So the other explanation of Makshinan means that there's an opinion that we can say that we make an actual Hekesh between them, and we can say, just like this comparison between hitting and cursing as far as a father or mother, the same way there's a comparison between hitting and cursing as far as anybody else, where if he's not oisa maisa amcha, then he's not chayev. So the Gemara says, Yichochi b'noi nami. Well, then the same distinction should be as far as the son. Why is the son chayev even in that case? And the answer is, Kid Omra Pinchas, b'sha'osa truva. Just like Rabbi Pinchas says in a case in Masechta Chagiga, involving Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, that we're talking about over there, a Ganav, and you're talking about a certain case. B'sha'osa truva, where he did truva, Hochanami b'sha'osa truva, here also you can be talking about the person is being taken out to be executed, but he did truva, so now he's Oysa Maisa Amcha again, and therefore the son is going to be Chayav Misa for hitting him and for cursing him. Well, then we're back to the question, the same thing should apply to anybody else. Once he did truva, he's Oysa Maisa Amcha. And the answer is Omer Amari, because the Pasuk says Ba'amcha. Still, the Pasuk says Ba'amcha, among your people, which implies B'mekuyam Sheba'amcha, it applies only to a member of your people who is going to continue to live. So therefore, as opposed to this person is being taken out from Misas Beis Din, So even though now he's in the category of amcha, as far as it is oisa maisa amcha, but he's saying that you need both. You need to have that he's oisa maisa amcha and that he's makuyim, that is makuyim shaba amcha. So then the Torah Chaim explains, Ramori is not disagreeing with the previous answer of the Gemara. He's saying that this, when he didn't do tshuva, then anybody would be potter for hitting or cursing him, even his son. If he did tshuva, and now he's oisa maisa amcha, then his son would be chayev, anybody else would be potter. And where he's mekuyim shaba amcha, and he's oisa maisa amcha, then anybody would be chayev for hitting or cursing him. Okay, so the Gemara says, Yihochi v'noi nami. Well, then we're back to the question, then why should the son be any different? Why by the son should we make this distinction between whether he's mekuyim, whether he's going to continue living or not? And the answer is, midi dehavim achamisa. And the reason is, because you can compare it to the case where a person curses his father after he dies, whereas we're going to say in the next Mishnah that nevertheless he's chayav misa for that. So with the son, therefore, in short, it doesn't matter whether the father is going to continue living or not. So therefore, here, even if we say he's not mekuyam, he's about to die soon anyway, nevertheless the son would be chayav for cursing him. Now that explains as far as the Makalo. What about as far as the next Mishnah though says that if he hits him after he dies, he's Potter. Where here we're saying if he hits him when he's on his way to be executed by Beis Din, he's Chayev. So Rashi explains because the Gemara is going to explain the whole reason why he's Potter for hitting his father after he dies is because the hitting, as we learned about yesterday, is only when Oisabai Chabura, only when he makes a wound in him and causes him to bleed. Or bruise, which also is bleeding under the skin. As opposed to after he's dead, you don't have that. After he's dead, then wounding him is not going to cause him to bleed. So therefore he's Potter. But over here, the fact is, the person is still physically alive. He's about to be executed, but he hasn't been executed yet. And therefore, in fact, hitting him would cause him to bleed. And therefore, so in other words, the distinction would be as follows. When it comes to a son, as far as hitting, it's still Oisabai Chabura, it's still making a wound and causing him to bleed, and as far as cursing, he'd be Chayev for cursing him even Lachamissa. Therefore, the son would be Chayev in these cases. Whereas for anybody else, because again, this person who's about to be executed by Beis Din is not Mekuyam, he's not going to live for very long, therefore if somebody else hits or curses him, even when he's going out to be executed, then that other person would be culture for that. Okay. So the point is, in other words, that if we understand it that way, then we see that if he's going out and the son hits him or curses him on the way, he'd be chayev, but that doesn't necessarily mean that where he's doing it as a shliach Beis Din to force the father to go out and go to the place of execution, that it should be osur. So fine, we can still stick with what Rav Sheshis was saying, that we haven't schlugged up what Rav Sheshis is saying, that he's still osur to do that. Well, the Gemara says, my havi Allah, what's the bottom line? What is the halacha? The answer is Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna v'chein tonet ve'rabi Shmo. So the answer is based on what Rav Bar Rav Huna says, or it's also taught in a brisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmo. Lakol ena ben nasa shliach la'aviv lahakoyser lekalaloi. As far as no case in halacha can a son be a shliach regarding his father, a shliach Beis Din, to hit him or to curse him. So in other words, not like Rav Sheshis. So Rav Sheshis had said, for example, that if the father is chayiv malchus, then the son could be the shliach Beis Din to give him malchus, or if the father is chayev nidui, then the son could be the shliach Beis Din to pronounce the nidui. In any case, the son is not allowed to do that. Chutz mi mesis, with the exception where the father was a mesis, where he tried to convince people to worship Avodah Zarah, shadei oma turtel es sachmo v'les achasa olo, because the pasuk says you're not allowed to have rachmanos and you're not allowed to cover up for him. So even his son would be allowed to hit him or curse him. In such cases. But other than that, no. So in other words, in short, not appropriatious. Based on the maskana over here, you have a big discussion among the poskim. What is it? What are we talking about over here? Are we talking about that this whole discussion was where the father had done tshuva? Again, we mentioned before the point about the father doing tshuva, and now he's oisa maisa amcha. And the only question is whether he's still about to be executed or not. Whether he's mekuyam, as the Gemara called it before. But either way, in other words, the point would be. So one way of understanding it, Tosfos learns in Yevamos that the whole discussion, this whole sugya, since the beginning of the previous Amud, has all been where the father did tshuva, so now he's osamai sa'amcha, and therefore, so in other words, but if he hadn't done tshuva, then anyway, because he's not osamai sa'amcha, then even the son would be allowed to hit him or curse him as a shliach Beis Din. So that's one way of learning. Tosfos learns this way, the Ram learns this way. Then on the other hand, you have the Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh and the Lerner and then the Moshe discusses in a Tshuva that Rashi may hold this way as well. But no, we're all talking about where he didn't do Tshuva. So Rav Sheshis would say because he hadn't done Tshuva, therefore Rav Sheshis is allowing the son to be a Shliach Beis Din to do it, to hit him or to curse him, and then we're saying that no, there's still an issue involved, fine, because he's in Osa Maisa Amcha, therefore the son might be potter for it, but it's still also for him to do. So the bottom line halacha in that then is because you have the two different opinions, therefore son shouldn't be doing the shouldn't even even where the son is a shliach Beis Din, then he shouldn't be doing it. He should leave it to somebody else to do it. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Hamaka of Avi'imai, continuing on this topic of somebody who hits his father or mother. He's chayev only if he causes a wound in them. So if he causes them to bleed. So that could be either an open wound where it actually bleeds out, or a non-open wound where it bleeds under the skin, a bruise. As we learned from the Gemara yesterday, we learned that from the fact that since there's a hekesh between makke odom and makke behema, hitting a person and hitting an animal, with hitting an animal, he'd be chayev to pay the owner of the animal only if he actually caused an injury, a wound, or a bruise. So it is also with his parents. So the Mishnah continues, there's a certain chumrah in cursing, overhitting, if he curses his parents, even after they're dead, he's still chayev, as we're going to explain in the Gemara, but if he wounds them after they're dead, then he's potter, because then it's not oyster chavura, because then it's not going to make them bleed, because the body is not going to bleed anymore, they're already dead. So the Gemara starts off. Now there is an interesting point. Seif Chassidim makes a point that there's also it's brought over here on the side, the cursing after all affects the neshama even after the father has passed away. Even after the parent has passed away, as opposed to hitting, is on the body. It's not affecting him after he's dead. In other words, here the Gemara is going to explain that the Rashi, and again, is explaining that the problem is that choivel would involve only where he's taking out blood from the body, but therefore, so on the face of it, a curse is that he's wishing that something bad should happen to his father. So the Sefer Chassidim brings, and the Iri also brings it on our Gemara, that yeah, hitting the body is when after it's dead is like hitting the ground, as opposed to a curse affects the neshama. In fact, the Rishon brings this as a halacha that gives us proof for Tchias HaMesim. We're going to learn about Tchias HaMesim in the next parak and about the sources for it in Torah. But here he says we have a halacha that has to do with the point of Tchias HaMesim. So the curse is going to affect the neshama, which is still living in Olam Haba, and which eventually is going to have Tchias HaMesim. So therefore, it's considered as though the father was still alive. So the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanan, Ovid v'imoy kilo, the Pasuk says like this, in Parashas Mishpatim, it says that if a person curses his father or his mother, he's chayev misa. Then in Parashas Kedoshim, when it lists various misas based in, it again mentions that the person cursed his father or his mother, Ovid v'imoy kilo, dom of bari. The Pasuk says, a person who curses his father or his mother is going to be put to death, over the ime kilo dom of bari. Now those words, over the ime kilo, are extra. We know from the earlier in the pasuk, we're talking about that he cursed his father or his mother. So actually, katalos over the ime. So therefore, it means la'acham misa. It means that he's chayev even after they die. The logic is, why do we need the pasuk to tell us? She yochol, you would think otherwise to think as follows. Hoyo v'chiyev v'makke v'chilo v'makalo, given that the Torah says that he's chayev when he hits his parents or when he curses his parents, you should make a comparison between them, make a binyanav between them. Ma makke eni chayev el mechayim, just like hitting is chayev only when they're alive, because again, after they're dead, then there's no chaburah, there's no wound being made. Afa makalo eni chayev el mechayim, you would think, therefore, that for cursing is also only chayev when he does it when the father is alive. V'oid kavachoymer, and furthermore, we should make kavachoymer to say that he's potter. Just when it comes to hitting, where the one who's not part of amcha, where a person is not acting like a yid should, and then he did averus, the pasuk still makes him like amcha, namely, because by maka over the ima, it doesn't say the word amcha. So we were talking about before that a son is not allowed to hit his father even when he's not doing Torah and mitzvahs. Then he's still not allowed to hit him. So that would be according to one of the two opinions that we said before that the iser and the misa to hit his father is even when he's not osa maisa amcha. Nevertheless, loy chiyav bo la'acham misa. Nevertheless, the Torah is Nevertheless, the Torah is not mechayiv him if he hit the father's body after he died. Mekalel, shalei osaba, shalei ba'amcha, ka'amcha. Well, then when it comes to Mekalel, where the Torah does draw a distinction between osa ma'isa amcha or not, because like we said on Omen Aleph, by cursing, it says, v'nasi ba'amcha loiso, do not curse a nasi among your people. And we said, we learned from that only when he's osa ma'isa amcha, only when he's acting the way a yid, only when he's acting the way a yid should, So in other words, when he's not, then there's no issur on cursing him. You would think ain't a din shalachiyah boi la'acham misses. You would think that shouldn't it be a kavah choymer that we would have another kula in it as well, that he's potter after his father dies. Talmud Loimar, no, therefore the pasuk says, over the imay kilo, so it says, therefore the pasuk has the extra words, he cursed his father and his mother, which means la'acham misa, which means that it comes to include la'acham misa, that he's still chayev. So that's why the pasuk needed to spell out the words of the imekilo, because otherwise you would think on the basis of this mamatzinu and this binyan and of this mamatzinu and this kalachomer that he should in fact be potter. So the Gemara says honicha. That works out according to Rabbi Yonason, who says the words of v'imay are extra in the pasuk, because now the Gemara is going to discuss now that we have machoikos Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonason, what we use those words for. According to Rabbi Yoshi, we use those words for a different limud. So according to Rabbi Yonason, we have the words of v'imay kilo available for this drasha. Elo Rabbi Yoshi ma'ikol me'mar. What are we going to say? According to Rabbi Yoshia, Tosfos actually points out, by the way, here the Gemara was trying to compare hitting to cursing and trying to make a kavah choymer from that. But on the other hand, you could say hitting involves skila, cursing involves a maka over the ima, it's chayv skila. Cursing them is, or the other way around, if he hits them, he's chayev chenek, as we're saying in our perek. Mekalel is skila, but that was going to be part of the kavah choymer as well. We would think that maybe they should both be chayev skila. Anyway, the words of the imekilel are extra in the pasuk, only according to Rabbi Yoshia, only according to Rabbi Yonason, but according to Rabbi Yonason, they're not. Ma'iklamemer, then what are you going to say? The Tanya, as we learn in a brisa, when the pasuk starts off that pasuk about cursing parents, it starts off ish, a man, meaning each man. So what does that mean? Matamalami ish. What does that come to include? Means the rabbis bas tumtum vandroginus. It comes to include also a daughter who curses her parents. Also a tumtum vandroginus who curses their parents. That also they'd be chayev. Tosfos refers over here to something that they talk about earlier in the Masechta, when we use this kind of drosha of ish to say that we include women and tumtum and androgynous versus usually you don't need such a limud anyway, because usually every mitzvah in the Torah applies to both men and women unless otherwise specified. The Tosfos points out, if it just said because, when it says the lashon ish, we would say it means only an ish unless we have twice, unless it says ish. Because ein miyot acha miyot elo rabbis. So therefore, the word ish means that it's not only limited to men, it includes women and tumtum and androgynous as well. The Braisa continues that when the Pasuk says that he curses his father or his mother, now it says es over v'esimo. Does that mean his father and his mother? Maybe he's chayev misa only if he curses both of them. So ainli ela over v'imo. So you would know from the Pasuk only that means both of them. Over shaloi imo shaloi over minayin. How do we know that he's chayev misa even if he only cursed his father or only his mother? Therefore, the pasuk continues. His father and his mother he cursed. Meaning, in other words, so now we have in the pasuk like this. It starts off saying, that he curses his father and his mother. So the word curses is put next to the word father, meaning that he cursed his father. Then the pasuk continues, his father and his mother he cursed. So there you have the word mother next to the word curse. So you see from that, Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, so Rabbi Yoshia says from there you learn that if he curses either one of them individually, he's chayev misa. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Rabbi Yonasan says no. A different way of learning it. Mashma shneim ke echad or mashma echad ve echad b'fnei atzmai. The vav could mean both of them together, but it can also mean one of them without the other. Yeah, the vav, according to Rabbi Yonasan, means that it doesn't have to mean and, it can mean or. So ad shi'afarat l'chal kosev yachdav, unless the Torah specifies the word yachdav, for example, where it says lois sachrish b'shur of a hamer yachdav, don't plow with an ox and a donkey together, so then it means you can't plow with the two of them together, but you can plow with either one individually. But if it didn't say yachdav, then in fact it would mean either one individually. So here where it doesn't say yachdav, then automatically it means either one individually. So that being the case then, according to Rabbi Yonasan, then you don't need the words other v'imay kilo to teach us anything. So according to him, he can use it to say that it means even la'acha misa. But according to Rabbi Yoshia, who needs that to teach us that if he curses his father or his mother individually, then he's chayev. And according to him, what are we, then, so the question is menole. So according to him, then again, how do we know that if he curses them la'acha misa, that he should still be chayev, given that he's using these words of v'imei kilo for a different drasha? This kind of thing, by the way, where a vav in the pasuk, where there's a machlokas, whether the vav means and or whether it means or, you find that throughout Shas, this comes up, where Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshi have this machlokas about where the Torah mentions two things and ties them together with vav, whether it means both of them or whether it means one or the other. So the Gemara answer is nafkalei mi umakalal of v'imah. Most yomos he would learn it from the pasuk and parshas Mishpatim that says that a person who curses his father or his mother is chayav misa. We're given that we have the pasuk and parshas Kedoshim. That pasuk is unnecessary. Therefore, we can learn that it means lacha misa. So the Gemara asks the Idach, so according to Rabbi Yonasan, what does he do with that pasuk? And the answer is, Ahumi boy, l'rabbis bas tumtum androgynous. He would say that it's from there that we learn that if a daughter or a tumtum androgynous curses their parents, then they're chayav misa. So the Gemara says, the tipokle mi ish. Why? We already had the word ish, and we learn from that. The answer is Rabbi Yonasan would hold Dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adam. He would hold the Torah just uses regular human speech, and in Lashon Kodesh, in classical Lashon Kodesh, you repeat a word in order to mean everyone. So ish would mean every person, not necessarily are you darshaning from it that you need a daughter or a trumptum or androgynous. So in short, in other words, according to, so it goes like this then. According to Rabbi Yoshia, we're saying like this. From ish, we're learning a daughter, a tumtum, an androgynous. From Asher Yikalas Oveves Imoy, that means that they curse. And from Oveve Imoy Kilo means that it's either one individually. According to Rabbi Yonasan, rather, we're saying that the limud is as follows. The fact that a daughter, a tumtum, an androgynous is chayev, we learn from a different pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Ish, he's not darshaning because Dibra Torah Floshim Ne'adam. And from Oveve Imoy Kilo, he's learning that it means la'acha misa. And meanwhile, according to Rabbi Yoshia, la'acha misa, we learn from the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. So they've all taken care of all the psukim. Okay. So now, going back to the Mishnah, we said in the Mishnah that there's a chumrah in cursing over hitting, namely that we said that when it comes to cursing, it can be even la'acha misa, as opposed to hitting, we said, is only when the father or mother is alive. So the Gemara says, well, listen, why didn't the Mishnah mention that you have the flip side of it? There's a chumrah in hitting parents over cursing them. We said that when it comes to hitting, there's no difference between osa maisa amcha or not. Either way, the son is also to hit his father. We said, according to Rav Sheshis, we had learned before that if he's doing it as a shliach based in, then he's allowed. But we said in the end that it's not so. So it doesn't matter oisa maisa amcha or not, mashenkin mekalal, as opposed to a mekalal, there is that distinction, because by mekalal it says the word amcha, and the answer is, that's exactly the question. Kasava makshinin hakala klala, because the Tana of our Mishnah holds that we don't make that distinction. We do say that once the Torah says this point by klala, then it also applies to makah. By makah also, if he's not oisa maisa amcha, then there's no chiyuv misa for hitting him. Again, here we have this big machlok, as we've shown him before, whether the Gemara, whether that was in fact the conclusion of the Gemara, that either way, that the Isser to hit him is only when he did Tshuva, or is the Isser to hit him even where he hadn't done Tshuva. So, but in any case, we're saying there's not necessarily a distinction between hitting and cursing on Mishnah, therefore didn't mention that distinction, because it doesn't hold that there is one. He would hold that there's a hekesh between them, as we talked about in Amar Aleph. The hekesh could either just mean a straight comparison, a mamatzinu between one and the other, or it can mean that an actual hekesh because they're two psukim apart in Parshas Mishpatim. As Rashi points out on the psukim over there in Mishpatim, in fact, precisely because you have another pasuk between them about kidnapping, which we're going to deal with in the next Mishnah, then therefore that's why you have this machlokas, whether that still constitutes a valid hekesh or not, since you have something in between. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema hani tanoi kahani tanoi. Well, does that mean then that the tanoim who argue about the tanoim who argue about whether you make such a hekesh, whether there's an issur of hitting, regardless whether he's oisa maisa amcha or not, as opposed to cursing that there's not, does that mean that they're arguing also the same machlokas as other tanoim, as far as the cursing? The Kusim, we know famously, they were brought to Eretz Yisrael by Sancheder to repopulate the land of the Aseres HaShavatim after their Golos. There's the whole question throughout Shas whether they ever became sincere Geirim or not. The Toni Choda, one Brisa says, Kusi at Mitzava al HaKosei. When it comes to a Kusi, there's a mitzvah in the Torah not to hit him. The Iat Mitzvah al Kilolosei, but there's no issue in the Torah to curse him. The Tani Edech, Iat Mitzvah, Loy al Kilolosei, Loy al HaKosei. Another Brisa says that there's no issue on either one, neither on the hitting nor the cursing. So, Savrua, so we figure for purposes of the question to call Alma Kusim Geirei Emes. Both of them are going to agree that the Kusim are considered Geirei Emes, that to begin with. Now, the Psukim described they became Geirim because they were afraid because lions were attacking them and they realized that Hashem doesn't want them worshipping Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, so they became Geirim. So we're going to assume that both Tanoim and this Braisa hold that they did in the end become Geirei Emes. They did truly accept mitzvahs on themselves. Eventually, the Gemara mentions in Cholin that eventually the Chachamim discovered worshipping them Avodah Zarah and declared them the Goyim Gemurim, but in all the hundreds of years before that, they may have been Geirei Emes. So my lab bahokamitzvagi. So wouldn't that be the machlokas? The marsav machshinah akol leklala, or marsav alay machshinah akol leklala. Now, nevertheless, even if they're geirei emes, they're still not oisim maise amcha because they're not fully keeping mitzvahs completely. So everybody agrees to that. So therefore, the machlokas would be that they're not considered amcha. So one opinion would hold then that even though you're not allowed to curse them, you are allowed to hit them, and there's no issue in it. Or the other way around, even though you're allowed to curse them because they're not oisim maisa amcha, and by cursing it says amcha, but hitting you wouldn't have that distinction. So one opinion would hold, though, that we make a hekesh, and we say once you're not allowed to hit them, you're not allowed, because there's no distinction of amcha or not, then you're not allowed to curse them either. The other one would say that that you don't make that, so therefore you're allowed to curse them, you're not allowed to hit them. So the Gemara says, "Loi, no, not necessarily. Is that the underlying machlokas? The kula amal loi makshin and akol leklala. They may well both hold that you don't make that hekesh, because again, there is one pasuk in between cursing a father and mother and hitting a father and mother. So therefore, there's no hekesh. But b'hakamifligi, the machlokas would be marisava kusim geiri emesin. One of them holds that the kusim became true geirim. So therefore, just like you're not allowed to hit a fellow yid, even if he's not oisa maisa amcha." Because again, when it comes to hitting, you don't have that distinction of amcha or not. So therefore, the kusim are in that category as well, and therefore you're not allowed to hit them unless you're doing it as a shliach basin or something. Or ma'asava kusim geiri arayas, saying whereas the other opinion holds that the kusim are geiri arayas, they're never really sincere geirim in the first place, and therefore, as far as we're concerned, they're like goyim, and there's no particular issur on hitting them or on cursing them. Well, the Gemara says, Yichachi, if you're going to say that, if that's the meaning of the machlokas, Hainu de Katoni Allah, what about a Braisa continues and says that the Braisa continues, Vishore, Ki Yisrael, that the Shur of a, that in the, that the shur of a kusi would have the same din as the shur of a Yisrael. Namely, that in Bava Kamma, the Gemara tells us that if a yid's shur injures a shur, a yid's shur injures or kills another yid's shur, then we know we have tam versus muad, fatzi nezek or nezek shalim. As opposed to the Mishnah says over there that if a yid's shur injures or kills a shur of a goy, then the yid is potter, and if a goy does it to a yid, then he's paying nezek shalim regardless. So now the Braisa is saying that a kusi in this regard is considered like a regular full-fledged yid. So obviously the Tana of this Braisa can't possibly hold that there can't be any opinion in this Braisa that says that they're geri arayas, because then the din of their shur should be like that of a goy. So elal shvamin abakeshap pligi. So obviously the two opinions, the two braises must be holding, in fact, that there is machlokas whether we make a hekesh between hakka and between cursing and hitting, where again, because you have, they're both mentioned almost back to back in Parshas Mishpatim in connection with parents, but there is one pasuk in between. Does that mean we make a hekesh between them, and what applies to one applies to the other, and therefore if he's allowed to in the case of not osa maisa amcha as far as cursing, then he's also allowed to as far as hitting, or not? So that would in fact be the machlokas between these two braises, and therefore, so shlamina, so that proves that is the machlokas, and therefore, yes, we can say that the earlier distinction that we said before, whether we're making when our Mishnah had said that there's a chumrah, when our Mishnah had said there's a chumrah in cursing over hitting, cursing is la'achamiseh, hitting there's not. And on the other hand, the Mishnah had not said there's a chumrah in hitting, that hitting is never osur, whereas cursing is mutter. If ena oisamai samcha, our Mishnah holds that no, there's no such distinction, because there is the hekesh. On the other hand, we said before that there are other Tanoim who hold that there isn't such a hekesh, and therefore that you don't have a comparison with one, he's also regardless, oisemaisa amcha or not, with the other not, and then the two braises that we just said would reflect those two different respective opinions. Okay. Shukriya, everyone.